Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And this is episode 29.
Wow. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say, wow, I can't believe this.
Okay.
Well, okay, I almost did. Nope. I'm not going to say it.
Well, 29 is a good number.
That is a good number. What's good about it, honey?
That's the day of our anniversary.
It is.
The number date. Yes.
The day we got hitched.
Yes.
Married. Matrimonied.
Matrimonied? I don't think that's a word.
It could be.
In the Wayne Line Dictionary.
Oh, it makes perfect sense now.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay.
Anyway, so tonight we're doing something. Well, we're always looking for different topics. And now I don't want you to think that I read Brides Magazine all the time, because I don't. But when I was looking for topics, this came up, and it's out of Brides Magazine or brides.com. It was updated on 9/23/22, and the title of this is 73 Deep Conversation Starters for Couples.
Wow, 73.
That's
a lot.
That is a lot. But, you know, I mean, obviously, we talk a lot, mm-hmm. but we don't always have deep conversations.
No, I don't think we always have deep conversations. No.
And sometimes when we do, it's kind of scary. Depends how deep that well really is.
And what time of night it is,
and because yes,
we've already talked about this. I tend to want to have a deep conversation at
late at
12:01 a.m.
Or had some a lot later than that, too.
When you're trying to be asleep.
Or when I am asleep.
So
anyway,
well, and we also realized that we have been lax in providing a scripture to go with our podcast lately. I think part of it was we didn't want to just manufacture scriptures to go with our topics, because frankly, scripture's like anything else. You can manipulate it to suit your purposes, and we don't want to do that. We want to honor the Word of God. We want to make sure that we understand it in the context in which it was meant to be understood, and that when we present it to other people, that we're presenting it accurately. So I think for a while we just stopped it, because we felt like we were just like grasping at passages to make them fit our topic. But tonight, one did come to us that we thought would be appropriate with this. Wayne is always saying communication is key in relationships, and it made us think about Colossians 4:6. This is from the English Standard Version, and it says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person."
I like that.
Yeah, that's good for any relationship,
any
interaction with people.
Yep.
So there's 73 of those
conversations. It says there's 73.
Mm-hmm.
It says never run out of things to talk about again.
Mm.
So, well, we've talked a little bit about this and how we're going to do it, but I'll just read some of the introduction. So this is written by Esther Boykin, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist based in the D.C. metro area. And she's also the author of the book Date Deck, a book created to help couples understand how every date night is a chance to improve their relationships. So the intro says, whether you've been together for 3 months or 3 years, all couples can benefit from an enriching conversation. From the seemingly trivial favorite movies, dream vacation spots, to the most important, greatest ambitions, biggest fears, any talk that leads to finding out more about what your partner wants out of life is a worthwhile one. The more you chat, the more at ease you'll feel with one another, which is crucial when it comes to opening up more sensitive subjects. Communication skills are just like any other skills, says relationship therapist Esther Boykin. The more you practice, the better you are at it, particularly when it comes to conversations where you feel vulnerable. So I guess the idea is to share your feelings, be vulnerable, let it all hang out.
Okay.
Well, within reason.
Okay. Well, I think we talked about this with, it's like when we talk about saying thank you to mm-hmm. each other for doing things and saying things like, I appreciate you, or that was really nice of you to do that for me, and how that fills our basket. So then when we have to have a difficult conversation that isn't so pleasant and may cause hurt feelings or make one of us angry or both of us angry or whatever, our basket's full of the positive things we said to each other, and so then it makes it easier to bounce back from the negative things. We can pull out those positive things and remember the positive conversations and things that we've said about each other. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that's along the same line.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she says here too, when couples can focus on not just how to communicate, but what they communicate to each other, it can make those tougher conversations down the road as you're thinking about getting married a lot easier.
Yeah, I think this would be especially great for
people that aren't married.
People yet. That aren't married and are considering getting married to each other.
Yeah.
I wonder if we would still be married. If we would have married each other, we'd had deep conversations before we got married.
We had some. I know, well, we talked about your family, my family.
We talked about your marriages and previous relationships.
We talked about my previous marriages and relationships, at least the one I could remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we won't go there. Yeah, we talked about children, if we wanted any, and how many we wanted.
Yeah, so I guess we did have some deep conversations.
Talked about where to live.
Unfortunately, we didn't talk about money, but that was another podcast we've already done.
Well, we knew that you didn't want to live on the farm. We did come up with that.
Yes, I did not want to be a farm wife.
You did not want to be a farm wife.
But you didn't want to live on the farm either.
I was going to say, but yeah, because we talked about that. Would I go back? Because remember, we talked about would I ever go back to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. All right. Well, I guess some of those were deep subjects. So
yeah, more or less.
All right. So what else does this marriage therapist have to say about these deep conversations?
Well, first thing she says, try to make it fun. From flashcard games to viral online guides, there are plenty of prompts available to inspire a deep conversation. When you start with questions generated by someone else, it makes the experience feel like a game. I never thought about it that way.
No.
And it reduces the likelihood that we begin to attach meaning to... Oh, yeah. It reduces the likelihood that we begin to attach meaning as to why our partner is asking the question.
Oh, okay.
I like that.
So if you're approaching it like it's a game, you know you're going to be asked questions that might be probing questions, and so you're not caught off guard when somebody just asks you a random deep question out of the blue. That makes a lot of sense.
It does. Yep, it does. So here's a bunch of questions that she starts out with.
Okay.
I don't know if these are... Oh, these must be the 73 questions.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. There are a good number of them.
Yeah, they're a good number.
So, and discussing whether or not you agree with decisions can be indirect, just as truthful way of revealing what governs your heart.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. Oh, that okay, now I understand. That's talking about books, movies, and shows you've watched together. When you're discussing them. Okay, I got a little bit ahead of myself.
Yeah.
So should we discuss some of the
Let's go through some of these questions. And I think we're going to do this over the next few podcasts. We're going to go through these questions. And I claim the right to plead the Fifth Amendment and not answer a question when we're being recorded.
Does that mean I can do the same thing?
Yes.
Oh.
Is that okay if we establish that boundary?
Sure.
Okay.
I hadn't thought about that.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So who is the person in your family you're the most honest with?
Well, I would say you.
I would have to say you as well. I'm pretty honest with the cat, but she doesn't ask me a whole lot of questions.
She's a good listener,
She is a good listener.
okay, well, that I could see though where that could spark a lot of
That could,
conversation. I want to
yes.
know who you feel most honest with.
Well, I can see that being really interesting if you're either newly married or getting ready to be married.
Right.
I can see that would be
That'd be a good
really,
question. I
that
mean, because
would
we've
be.
been together for a long time, and I think there's not a whole lot about me that you don't know. And but I mean, there's been times when I've hidden things from you when I haven't been totally
Well,
honest.
same here, yeah.
And well, I think the other thing that plays into it for me is I know people who are very close with siblings, like friends of mine who have sisters, and their sister is their confidant. Because they have all their family history and know everything about them, and so I would imagine that a lot of women might answer that they have a sister who is the person their family was most with. I'm an only child, so it didn't, so that doesn't work for me. And I mean, right now, a lot of my family, a lot of my relatives have passed on to glory, so it's. And I think I'm pretty honest with Ashley too. I mean, you know, that's when we're having, I have a lot of real conversations with her too, where I just really am very vulnerable with her. She's a very good listener and very good at oh, I'm not coming up with the word I want, but very good at responding to me and you know, making good suggestions or advice, or you know, asking if I want advice or if I just wanted to listen. So, yeah, how about you?
How about me? What?
Oh, you did say that I was the person that
I
you,
did.
yes, you did.
My sister, I mean, I was not an only child, so my sister and I were together growing up. I mean, we had a decent relationship, but it wasn't like sharing deep, mushy, gushy feelings kind of stuff. You know, she was 4 years older than I was, but.
Yeah, and I think she was living life at a different level because she was older than you were,
And
so
she was.
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two.
Number two, what's number two?
What is your most unique family tradition? And then the second part of that is what, or I guess we could say either one, what is your favorite family tradition?
Wow. You answer first. I answered first the last time. I'm interested to hear what you say.
Are you?
I am.
Well, there's a really odd thing that comes to my mind, which I've
Okay.
really enjoyed the last 2 years,
What's that?
making something in the fall. Christmas pickles.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I
That's your own little family tradition you got going
apparently
on there.
all by
All
myself.
by yourself.
Apparently, yeah.
Me, myself,
Yeah, I
and
was gonna say it's not really a
I.
family tradition, but well, and I mean, growing up, we started opening Christmas presents at night, Christmas Eve, and we've kind of continued to do that. Open some of them Christmas Eve sometimes.
Well, it's been different with the boys because we
Yeah.
went back to opening stuff in the morning,
Morning.
but
But we did that for quite a while.
yeah, that was fun. Well, and I like I don't I well it's asking unique family tradition. I think our unique one is the egg bullying, and
I
I
was gonna
guess
say, that's what I thought
you have to
about
be
too.
careful. I mean, this is really a thing, but I've noticed I did some internet research on it this past Easter, and I noticed that a lot of the sites that talked about this, even the history of it, to be politically correct, they've changed the word from bullying because of the negative connotation of bullying, but that word does mean other things besides picking on somebody. But it kind of goes with this. So anyway, when you decorate Easter eggs, you hold an egg in your hand and your opponent holds an egg in their hand, and you bang the ends of the eggs together on each other, you knock them together, and whoever crushes in the end of the other egg wins. And then you go around, and the person with the egg left that doesn't have both ends crushed in is the winner of the. It actually started in Europe, I think. I don't remember.
Yeah, it
I
was
think
in
it was
Europe.
England or
we
someplace.
We actually talked about this in length in one of the, I think, the podcast at right after Easter.
Oh, did we? I forgot
I believe
we, did,
we
that.
Did talk about that. See, and the other, and see, I had never even heard of that before mm-hmm. I met you.
Yeah.
But see, what we've all, is another tradition that's been, I mean, throughout growing up is always having like a big Thanksgiving meal.
Mm-hmm.
With the family and
yeah.
Christmas meal with the family. I think of that as a tradition mm-hmm. too, although I eat way too much, but
don't we all.
But it's different now because now, well, the way we do it now, we're here Thanksgiving, so you and I are doing the meal prep and the mm-hmm. kids do it at their house, which Dave does a lot of it, but growing up I just benefited eating everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I enjoy the prep yeah. part and, you know, just being with you doing stuff and
mm-hmm. I think if the question was, what is your favorite holiday, I would say Thanksgiving. Because what I like the most about Thanksgiving is it's just, well, it's about food, but it's about, that's the second reason I mm-hmm. like it. The first reason I really like it is because it's just about being together with mm-hmm. family. There's no presents involved. There's no yep. real decorations involved. There's none of that stuff. It's just a great time to be together. And so that's definitely my favorite holiday.
Yeah. So, are you ready to move on?
Yep.
This one will be interesting.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So, how does your family express love and affection?
Oh.
Well, you maybe go first, last.
Okay, so I'll have to go. Well, my family was very affectionate, and my mom and dad were very affectionate with each other, and they were very affectionate with me, and so I grew up being hugged and kissed and, you know, being touched by people in very appropriate ways
the
best way.
Yeah.
I know I had to watch how I was, you know, in just warm, loving mm-hmm. ways. And that's that we were always very openly affectionate with each other. And then I met your family.
And then you met my family. Yep. So I was not raised that way. I don't remember a lot of hugging or any, you know, that kind of stuff. Not a lot of outward shows of affection. I figured my parents loved me, but I wasn't told that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they showed me they did in their own way, but not in normal ways, you know what I'm
right.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of different. So we didn't, you know, I mean, I really can't, I'm sure somewhere along the way I was told I love you by my parents, but I really don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. And that's, anyway, yeah. But then you came along, and when you went up there, you started hugging everybody, and nobody knew what to do with you. They didn't know what to do with you.
And I was clueless. I didn't even notice.
Here, let me give you a hug, Mom. Here, Dad, let me give you a hug. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and then finally one day you said something to me about it. And you said, did you not ever notice that, like, you're the only person that they hug, that, like, nobody else hugs each other? And I was like, no, I was totally clueless. I just, you know, just ran in. But I got them all hugging now.
Warm down.
Everybody in your family hugs us now. I don't know if they hug anybody else, but they hug us. But
as I say, they hug us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So, well, this takes us just about to the end of the podcast. So we got through the first
few
questions.
Yeah.
And
well, I see some of them are not going to be applicable to us. Like the next one, do you wish to be a parent? If so, why?
Oh, we are a parent.
We are.
We are parents.
We are parents and grandparents. So
yes.
That's not really applicable.
No.
But, and that's actually one of the things that you and I talked about
mm-hmm.
before we got married, I believe. We
yeah.
talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, we actually know a couple that split up. And one of the reasons they split mm-hmm. up is that one of them wanted to have children and one of them didn't. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they didn't talk about that before they got married or if the one who wanted to have children thought they could change the mind of the one who didn't
mm-hmm.
want to have children. But that ended up, I mean, there were some other things going on too, but that was one of the reasons
that was the main
reason their marriage ended. Yeah,
yep.
So That's a very important question to talk about when you are considering getting married. You need to be on the same page with that. And you can never, ever think that you are going to change your spouse after you get married. It's not going to work. Right. The only person you can change is you. You can't change anybody else, regardless of what you think or how you try to manipulate a situation or anything. It doesn't work, because the only way change happens is you have to think that you need to change and you change yourself. So don't ever count on that.
Yep.
That's a good piece of advice for anything in marriage. It's like, you can't change the other person. And if you think that you're going to save them or rehabilitate them or change their mind about something they feel really strongly about, like if they feel really strongly that they do not want to have children, then you're making a big mistake and you're setting yourself up for big problems in your relationship.
We can't be responsible for others.
Right. You can only be responsible for yourself.
Only for ourselves. So.
All right. Well, that leaves those of you who are listening, who are considering marriage, something to think about. And we suggest that you try out some of these questions this week. And we will be back next week with more questions on this list of 73, I lost the title. Oopsie. He moved the page.
Sorry, 73
deep conversation starters for couples. Yep. All right. So until then, we pray that your marriage and relationships will be richly blessed and that you have a great week.
Yep. God bless. Bye now.
Bye.